The House will be in order. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, at this time, I ask for unanimous consent to withdraw my previous time certain motion.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, at this time, please recognize Representative Losey for House File 844, Representative Cisneros for Senate File 234, Representative Jacobson for Senate File 357, Representative Gobble for Senate File 554, Representative Losey for Senate File 562, Representative Thompson for House File 857, Representative Graber for House File 853, and Representative Losey again for House File 855.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Losey, for opening remarks on House File 844.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. House File 844 comes to us from the Iowa State Bar Association. The bill, while fairly large, is fairly simple. Iowa, many years ago, adopted the Model Business Corporations Act, which has been revised over the years. Currently, Iowa is acting under the third edition of the Model Business Corporations Act. House File 844 moves Iowa to the fourth edition of the Act. In addition, in addition to adopting the amended model language, it also provides for all entities to be business entities to do remote meetings, to conduct their corporate business meetings without having to specifically amend their bylaws to do so. Secondly, it also provides for a pre-clearance service and an expedited service for the filing of documents through the Secretary of State. Mr. Speaker, there is an amendment.
There is an amendment. The clerk will call up the amendment.
H1355 by Losey of Polk.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Losey, for opening remarks on H1355.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment conforms House File 844 to the Senate bill by doing two things. It establishes a regulatory structure for benefit corporations, also known as B Corps. These corporations are ones that permit their profits to be used for social or charitable causes. With this amendment, B Corps are required to disclose such spending so that investors and shareholders are made aware that not all of the company profits will be used for the betterment of the shareholders, which is a departure from longstanding corporate law and theory. Secondly, it conforms to the Senate bill by correcting an issue with respect to the effective date of businesses under Chapter 490 related to remote meetings, making it effective upon enactment. Thirdly, the amendment also amends the Senate bill by adding language to the Corporations Act to permit a company that is registered and has its place of business here in the state of Iowa to establish, operate, and maintain a foreign trade zone. For those that didn't know before tonight what a foreign trade zone is, like I didn't when I first got this part of the bill, a foreign trade zone is a creature of federal law and is a geographical area in or adjacent to a U.S. port of entry where commercial merchandise receives the same customs treatment as it would if it were coming from outside the United States. As an example, think of the duty-free store within an international airport. The purpose of this portion of the amendment is to help the Quad Cities Chamber of Commerce, which operates a foreign trade zone in the Quad Cities area. Mr. Speaker, those are my opening comments on the amendment, and I'd entertain any questions.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Polk, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Losey has done a really nice, thorough job of explaining both the amendment and the bill, and I would ask the body to support both the amendment and the bill. Thanks.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk. The gentleman from Polk moves Amendment H1355. All in favor of its passage, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has passed. We are now on House File 844 as amended. Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk for closing comments on House File 844.
I just want to thank my subcommittee, and I move the bill.
The gentleman from Polk moves House File 844 be read for last time placed on its passage. Are there objections? Hearing none, the clerk will read.
House File 844, a bill for an act providing for business entities providing for certain fees and including effective date provisions being enacted by a General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now shall the bill pass. Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Landon, aye. Height, aye. Meyer of Polk, aye.
Andrews,
aye. Bowden, aye.
Hunter.
Worthen, aye. Hunter, aye. Hall, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 89. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 11. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Muscatine for opening remarks on Senate File 234.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. Senate File 234 is about Class C secondary roads. As a definition, a Class C secondary road may have restricted access and a minimal level of maintenance as specified by the County Board of Supervisors after consultation with the county engineer. This bill provides that an area service C classification must apply to the entire portion of a road between access points. The bill prohibits a County Board of Supervisors from classifying as Area C only part of a road between access points or only a bridge on a road. This bill allows driveways to be considered access points for the purpose of this subsection and clarifies that this does not apply to roads that terminate in a dead end. This bill also provides that all Area Service C classifications currently in effect that are not compliant with the bill must be expanded or reclassified to meet the requirements of the bill on or before January 1st, 2022. Mr. Speaker, these are my opening comments.
Is there a discussion? Seeing no discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Muscatine for closing comments on Senate File 234.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill gives organizational and conforming changes, and I'd like to thank my committee members, Representative Momsen and Representative Hansen, for their input on this bill. Mr. Speaker, I ask we move this bill.
The gentleman from Muscatine moves Senate File 234 be read for the last time placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
Senate File 234, bill for an act relating to classification, reclassification of certain secondary roads, including applicability provisions, be enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Landon, aye. Height, aye. Andrews, aye. Bowden, aye. Thorup, aye. Judge, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine, receive your vote, record your vote, excuse me. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 90. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 10. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie, Representative Jacobson, for opening remarks on Senate File Senate File 357.
Good evening, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Senate File 357 relates to placement of juveniles in jails. If the child is being tried as an adult, the child shall not be placed in an adult detention facility unless the court determines that it's in the best interest of the child and the community. I think this is a great piece of criminal justice reform. I want to thank Representatives Westrich and excellent criminal defense attorney Wolf for their work on this, along with Chairman Holt and staffer Amanda Willey. These are my opening comments.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Clinton for opening for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I also rise in support of this bill, and I think it is going to be the only piece of criminal justice reform legislation that makes it to the governor's desk this session. And that is not due to actions taken by this chamber as much as across the road, but it is. So for people listening who are frustrated about, you know, the lack of that type of legislation this session, do be aware that this bill really does acknowledge that children are different, and even children who commit heinous acts are still children, and they have a long, long, long life in front of them. And most of them, even if they are convicted as adults and go to prison, most of them will get out of prison at some point. And that thus it is in our interest, as well as the interest of the children, to place them in an environment pending trial that will allow them to avoid the kind of contacts and the kind of problems that they would inevitably encounter in an adult jail facility. So I'm a yes on the bill, and I appreciate your support.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie, Representative Jacobson, for closing comments on Senate File 357.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I find myself in complete agreement with Representative Wolf. Here's the bottom line. We're trying to protect children from bullying and abuse by hardened older inmates. Those triggers alone sometimes lead to a higher propensity for recidivism. This is a very good bill for Iowa, and I move the bill.
The gentleman from Pottawatomie moves Senate File 357 be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
Senate File 357, a bill for an act relating to the placement of children in detention, including effective date provisions, being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now shall the bill pass. Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Landon. Aye. Height. Aye. Andrews. Aye. Bowden. Aye. Postgen. Aye. Moore of Scott, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 91. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 9. The bill have received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Gobble, for opening remarks on Senate File 554.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Senate File 554 extends a current process that's already found in Iowa Code 657A.10B that's practiced by cities in Iowa to acquire abandoned properties, and it extends it now to unincorporated areas. It sets out the parameters of this extension, and I will go through those very quickly. In order to be awarded the title of an abandoned property, the property must have been abandoned for at least 6 months. That remains the same as current law. The county must prepare a statement of their intended use of the property, this is new for cities and counties, to submit to the district court of how they're going to use the property. Unique to the counties, the property may not be more than 2.5 acres and cannot be agricultural land outside of city limits. The land may not be in the title of the city or of the county 18 months from their receipt of the title. Those are my opening comments.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Hunter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, Representative Gobble did an outstanding job of explaining the bill, and I would urge this body to vote yes. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk for closing comments on Senate File 554.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe this bill is a common sense piece of legislation for Iowa that grants our local governments the power of local control to address abandoned property in their jurisdiction. I'd like to thank my subcommittee of Representatives Eisenhart and Wheeler for their work, and I would move the bill.
The gentleman from Polk moves Senate File 554 be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk read.
Senate File 554, a bill for an act relating to the acquisition of titles to abandoned properties in an unincorporated area of the county, be enacted by a General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and record, receive your vote. Moore of Scott, aye. Landon, aye. Height, aye. Andrews, aye. Bowden, aye. Nordman, aye. Postian, aye. Oldson, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to results of the vote. Those voting aye, 92. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 8. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Losey, for opening remarks on Senate File 562.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House, and welcome this evening. Senate File 562 relates to sexual exploitation of a minor by an adult providing training or instruction. In other words, an adult that's in a position of trust or authority over that minor. This bill does several things. First, it defines an adult providing training or instruction as a person who is over the age of 18, is 4 years or more older than the minor receiving the instruction, and provides that the adult must be providing paid training or instruction outside of a school setting. Secondly, it modifies the private cause of action and criminal code statute of limitations for this exploitation by either counselor, therapist, or school employee to include the adult providing training, paid training. Third, it modifies the sex offender registry portion of the code to include adults providing such paid training. Fifth, it defines what conduct constitutes sexual exploitation and requires that that conduct take place during the period of training. Last, it makes the conduct either a Class D felony or an aggravated misdemeanor, depending on the scope of the conduct. Mr. Speaker, there is an amendment.
There is an amendment. The clerk will call up the amendment.
H1386 by Losey of Polk.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk for opening remarks on H1386.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment modifies the definition of adult training, providing training or instruction, by deleting the second sentence of the definition, which seemed to lend more confusion to that definition than it actually provided clarity. Those are my opening comments regarding the amendment, and entertain any questions.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Johnson, Representative Bohannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I support this amendment. I agree that this helps to clarify what the definition actually is by just removing some examples that are unnecessary. So I would urge the body to support the amendment.
Seeing no further discussion, the gentleman from Polk moves Amendment H1386. All those in favor of its passage shall vote aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, vote no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has passed. We are now in Senate File 562 as amended. Is there discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Johnson, Representative Bohannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Clearly, adult sexual exploitation of a minor is a serious problem. We have all heard pretty horrific stories of that happening, and we need to take those seriously, and we need to put an end to this kind of abuse. I don't think anybody here questions that. I do have some concerns about the bill as currently written that I've shared at committee and with Representative Losi. You know, when you draft general legislation to try to deal with specific situations, sometimes you can have unintended consequences, and sometimes it can get a little overbroad. And so just as one example, under this bill, you could have a 21-year-old who is teaching, say, part-time swimming at, you know, a local recreation center or something, who kisses a 17-year-old girl with her consent, even though she is above the age of consent, and could be guilty of an aggravated misdemeanor and put on the sex offender registry. And that would follow that person around for a very long time. I don't think that's actually what this bill is intended to get at. I think that it's an unintended consequence. And so I have shared this concern with Representative Losi, who I think understands that. He has suggested some language to the Senate, which I hope in their eminent good judgment and wisdom they will accept. So I will support this bill. I'll leave it to others to support it if they, as their conscience tells them, but I hope that the Senate will accept this language. I think it's very important to avoid extreme punishment for, you know, maybe a crime that should be dealt with, but not quite so so severely. So with that, I'll support the bill. Thank you.
The chair recognizes the lady from Clinton, Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening again, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Speaker, would Representative Losi yield for a question?
Will you yield?
I will.
You are in order.
Thank you, Representative Losi. I just would appreciate a little clarification. You mentioned, and the bill states, that the new criminal offense only applies to an offense which occurs within the period of time the adult providing training or instruction was receiving payment for the training or instruction, correct?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Okay. So then if you have a 25-year-old teaching a 17-year-old how to play tennis, getting paid maybe $20, so he gets his $20, gives her her hour-long lesson, then I assume after that, if they decided to date and if he kissed her goodnight, that would not be considered sexual exploitation under the bill, correct?
I think it depends on the course of conduct, Representative Wolf. Sexual exploitation is really defined kind of two ways. One would be the kind of the acts of some sort of sexual acts, such as kissing and touching, things like that, or the sex act. Also included in sexual exploitation would be a pattern or practice or scheme of conduct to engage in any of those conducts. So it kind of depends on the course of conduct during that paid. If she was trying, or the tennis instructor in this case, was trying to groom that young lady into some other conduct, then perhaps it would be a sexual exploitation. That would be, I think, one slight difference in that example.
Okay, but just if he was hired to give her a two-hour-long tennis lesson and he does that, and then once the lesson is over, he says, hey, now that that's done and your dad's money is in the bank, let's go out to eat, and then he kisses her goodnight, which personally I think would be fine, right, for a 17-year-old to go out, let's say a 22-year-old, and he buys her dinner and kisses her goodnight. I just want to make sure that that would not be a crime under the bill. Since he gave her the lesson, he got paid for it, he's no longer being paid to do the training because the training's over. I mean, would he be violating the law by taking her out to dinner and again, maybe giving her a kiss tonight, goodnight, which is defined as sexual conduct under the bill?
I would agree with you that should not be encompassed by this bill, and I don't believe that would be the intent.
Okay, thank you. So thank you, Representative. Yeah, so that's, you know, I have some of the same concerns that Representative Bohannon mentioned, but I do think this provision, which seems to indicate that it is only conduct that occurs during that period of time that the lesson is taking place that triggers the sexual offense. I think because of that limiting language, I think that makes sense. So thank you for the clarification, Representative.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk for closing comments on Senate File 562.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the father of a 16-year-old girl and the father of a 20-year-old boy, I completely understand kind of both sides of the argument. We certainly want to protect the minors, but we also do not want to necessarily overburden with punishment those that make honest mistakes due to their lack of youth and lack of training. I have suggested language to that effect to the Senate, and I hope they give it due consideration. That being said, I do appreciate the conversation we've had, Representative Bohannon, and I also want to thank Representative Wheeler for the subcommittee as well. With that, I'd move the bill as amended.
The gentleman from Polk moves Senate File 562 be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
Senate File 562, a bill for an act relating to sexual exploitation by an adult, providing training or instruction and providing penalties, be enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Landon, aye. Height, aye. Olson, aye. Worthen, aye. Andrews, aye. Westrich, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 91. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 9. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Green, Representative Thompson, for opening remarks on House File 857.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. At the beginning of the pandemic, many of us remember walking into our grocery stores only to find empty meat cases and barren toilet paper shelves. We saw outbreaks and closures of some of our larger meatpacking plants and a supply chain that struggled to keep up with demand for essential items. The logistical issues we faced throughout the COVID-19 pandemic opened a lot of people's eyes to the value of locally sourcing their protein. We've seen a massive spike in demand for custom meat processing, and most of our lockers are booked well into next year. House File 857 aims to expand locker capacity and help the industry in a couple of ways. Section 1 of this bill establishes a Butchery Innovation and Revitalization Fund to be administered by the Economic Development Authority. These funds may be used to expand, refurbish, and acquire facilities, acquire refrigeration or freezer facilities, and equipment necessary to expand processing capacity. These funds are to be targeted to small and medium-sized lockers that employ less than 50 people. The House Economic Development budget that moved through subcommittee today reflects a total investment of $750,000 for this fund. Section 2 of this bill creates a task force to be led by the Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship to develop an artisanal butchery program and curriculum in partnership with community colleges and region institutions. This task force will be made up of an IDOLS representative and at least 11 additional stakeholders from organizations outlined in this bill. This task force shall submit a report, including the recommendations and findings, to the General Assembly by December 31st, 2021.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the gentleman from Woodbury, Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I served on the Appropriations Subcommittee for this bill. My colleague, Representative Stade, served on the subcommittee when it was coming through the Economic Growth Committee. And I hope that he is also able to hear these comments at home. I know that he offered support when we discussed it as a group earlier in the week. I think Representative Thompson gave a good overview of the bill. And when we were discussing this within my caucus, I was pleasantly surprised to find out that I wasn't alone in finding ways to support local producers and also my local economy. My family and I have in recent years gone in on a half hog or a whole hog this last Christmas, knowing that some of our local producers were having a more difficult time getting steaks to restaurants where they would typically be selling their meat. Those restaurants had closed or were taking time off due to COVID, and so we found ways to purchase steaks and I gave them out to family members as a Christmas present. Past that, I think that it speaks to a greater interest in our state and many other places where people are looking to find a connection to local agriculture and know where their food comes from. We saw, as it was mentioned last year during COVID, that large-scale meat processors were occasionally closed due to the pandemic, due to safety concerns, and it pointed out a shortcoming in our economy and the meat processing system, where we need to be supportive of small and medium-sized processors, lockers, and that there is a benefit not only for small communities, for sportsmen, for hunters, but also for families who are just looking to know where their meat has been raised and where it's coming from. Knowing that there is a backlog and this is an opportunity to support the producers as well as communities and families interested in those things, I fully support this bill and think that it's an innovative concept and potentially something that we can continue to look toward as a template for other ideas in the future. Thank you.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Fayette, Representative Ingalls.
I want to thank Representative Thompson for working this bill through the system. It came from a lot of discussions with farmers that wanted more opportunities to sell directly to consumers and consumers that wanted more opportunities to buy directly from farmers. And these conversations were happening before 2020. Last year just kind of brought it all to a head. But I think this is a great bill for the entrepreneurs that operate our small and medium-sized lockers. It provides a lot of great opportunities for farmers that want to do some additional value-added things for their livestock operations. It provides consumers for a whole lot more choice locally, and I think it provides a lot of opportunities for Main Street businesses to keep money in the communities, and I think this may be a first step in a lot of exciting things that we can do around small and medium-sized farms and delivering more opportunities.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Green for closing comments on House File 857.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As previously mentioned, this bill moved through two committees and two subcommittees, so a lot of people have worked on this bill. I want to thank Representatives Momsen, Hall, Stade, who all worked on this bill, as well as everybody who serves on the Economic Growth Committees and Appropriations Committees for moving this bill forward. And I do want to offer a special thanks to Representative Ingalls, who authored this bill and put together a really good piece of legislation. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the bill.
The gentleman from Green moves House File 857 be read for the last time, placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
House File 857, a bill for an act establishing a butchery innovation and revitalization fund and program to be administered by the Economic Development Authority in consultation with the Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship and to create a task force to explore the feasibility of establishing an artisanal butchery program at the community college or at an institution governed by the State Board of Regents being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Landon, aye.
Andrews,
aye. Westrich, aye. Bowden, aye. Worthen, aye. Olson, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 91. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 9. The bill have received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Lee, Representative Graber, for opening remarks on House File 853.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the Iowa House. House File 853 basically is a pretty simple bill, but accomplishes a purpose. And what the bill basically does is it eliminates the requirement to have a permit on your snowmobile. It requires you, though, to be registered, and that registration fee goes to $30. For non-residents, you would basically have the requirement that you would have to obtain a permit, a user permit in Iowa, to be able to use your snowmobile on public grounds. Mr. Speaker, that's the bill.
Is there discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Scott, Representative Kurth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I served on the subcommittee for this bill. It's a good bill in that it combines two fees into one fee, which will simplify a process. It may generate a small additional amount of money that can go to maintaining trails, which might help to generate more interest in winter tourism. So I support the bill, and I encourage a yes vote.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Lee for closing comments on House File 853.
Being from the Florida of Iowa, I don't get to enjoy the snowmobiles too much, but I do think it's a good bill for Iowa. I want to thank the committee for your service. Recommend we move the bill.
The gentleman from Lee moves House File 853 be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
House File 853, a bill for an act relating to snowmobile user permits and registration fees being enacted by General Assembly of State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Landon, aye. Steckman, aye. Worthen, aye. Olson, aye. Andrews, aye. Westrich, aye. Bowden, aye. Thorup, aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 90. Those voting no, 1. Absent or not voting, 9. The bill have received a constitutional majority as declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Losey, for opening remarks on House File 855.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, House File 855 is a bill that's been a long time coming, and I've only been here for one term other than this one. So I know it's been around for a while. Happy to bring it home tonight. This bill grants adult adoptees the right to obtain a non-certified copy of the original birth certificate. In addition, certain entitled persons, such as a spouse of a deceased adoptee, would also have the right to receive a copy of the original birth certificate. This bill balances the interests of biological parents and the adoptees by requiring essentially two things. First, it requires the state registrar to create a biological parent contact preference form by which the biological parent can indicate one of four choices. One, that they would like to be contacted by the adoptee. Two, that they could be contacted through an intermediary. Three, that they do not want to be contacted, but their information can be released to the adoptee. And fourth, that they would do not want to be contacted and that their information on the original birth certificate be redacted. Secondly, and the part that is of particular excitement to me, it requires the state registrar to create a medical history form that can be filled out by the biological parent and then provided to the adoptee so that they know what's lurking in their genes. Both forms would be supplied along with a copy of the original birth certificate. In addition, House File 855 requires the Department of Public Health to begin a public relations campaign to notify parents, birth parents, about this change so that they can fill out a contact preference form and a medical history form if they so choose. Last, the bill also provides that if an adoptee is over the age of 50, that person can obtain a copy of the original birth certificate without having to wait for the biological parent to be contacted to determine their preference. Those are my opening comments.
Is there a discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Scott, Representative Kurth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a good bill, and it has been around for a while. We're pretty familiar with it. The good thing about it is that it provides both protection for the biological parent, but it also allows the possible access to that biological parent by the adopted child. I encourage a yes vote. I think it's a good bill. Thank you.
The chair recognizes the lady from Polk, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. This bill is a long time coming. I was talking the other evening with one of my constituents, John Pollock, who used to work in the Service Bureau, and he said he started drafting this bill 20 or 25 years ago. Adults adopted as children who want to find out who their birth parents are have run up against a brick wall because they had no legal right to simply get a copy of their original birth certificate without a court order in most states, including Iowa. That includes my friend, constituent, and Iowa Conference of United Methodist Church lobbyist, Sheila Corsby. Some of you might remember Sheila. Sheila suffered from serious heart disease and wanted desperately to know who her parents were and what their medical histories were. She assumed they were deceased, but she wanted to know. Many of you might have seen her working on this, working hard lobbying this issue here at the Capitol. On August 19th, 2019, I went to pick Sheila up for my Monday morning coffee because she could no longer drive. She didn't answer her unlocked door or answer when I stuck my head in and called for her. I went on to the coffee thinking she had arranged for another ride or had something else to do. After coffee, I had an uneasy feeling and went back to Sheila's home. Her minister answered the door and told me Sheila had been taken to the hospital. Later that day, Sheila went to hospice, and she died 3 days later at 64 years of age without ever finding her birth parents. A person dear to me who struggled to find her birth mother is my own daughter, who I surrendered for adoption when I was 19. She was born in 1970. For each of 47 years, I privately celebrated her birthday, and I daily prayed that her life was good. Fast forward to 2017, I took an Ancestry.com DNA test in December, wondering if anything about my daughter would come up. Nothing. One February Sunday morning after breakfast with my dad and husband, the phone rang. The person started with, "I don't know where to start." Thinking she was a constituent, I said, "Well, just start where you're able and we can go from there." Her next words were, "I think you're my mother." I asked when and where she was born, and then I told her, "I've been waiting for this call for 47 years. Within an hour, I was at her home. Shelley and I held on to each other so tight and for so long that I finally said, "Well, if you let me go, we can talk." And we did talk. We talked nonstop for 4 hours while our husbands sat in wonder of all of our commonalities. Coincidentally, Shelley had done an Ancestry.com DNA test a month after I did. Her results popped up: Marty Anderson, 63% likely parent. I found and gave Shelley information about her dad, who lived in Seattle. Like for me, Shelley was the only child Mark had ever had, and he opened his arms wide to her. She traveled to see him several times, and they talked nearly every day. She has become a dear member of both Mark's family and my family. She calls my husband Bram her bonus dad. I am so glad she found me and we found Mark, who died knowing his daughter and his grandson on December 2nd, 2019. Decades ago, the birth records of adoptees were sealed in most states. They were sealed to protect the identity of the adoptive parents from the birth mother and to respect the confidentiality of the birth mother. By 1960s, adoptees' original birth records in most states, including Iowa, would be sealed by the courts when a child was adopted and replaced with an amended document that had the adoptive parents' information. When an adoption was finalized, a new birth certificate for the child was issued, or is issued, with the names of the adoptive parents, the name that they've given the child, and sometimes listing the adoption day as the birthday. The original birth certificate is then sealed and kept confidential by the state. Today, about half of all states allow adult adoptees some form of access to their original birth certificate without the complexity of going to court. In at least 9 states, adult adoptees have unfettered access to their birth certificate. In states where there is a law like the one we're considering today, there's been little opposition by birth mothers. I'll give 2 quick examples. In New Hampshire, they changed their law on birth certificates in 2004. State records showed that 1,760 adoptees requested their birth certificates through December of 2015. And only 13 birth parents filled out forms saying they didn't want to be contacted by the child they gave up for adoption. Ohio opened its sealed records to adult adoptees in March 2015. In the first year, 9,000 adoptees requested their birth certificates, and the state received only 259 requests from birth parents to delete their names. Contrary to social opinion, there is no promise of confidentiality for birth mothers in child release contracts. But there is often a clause that prevents the birth parent from contacting the adoptive family. In other words, the contracts are not meant to protect the birth parent. Birth certificates are sealed so the adoptive parent has and feels the autonomy they deserve from the biological parent in raising their child. An original birth certificate may be the only piece of paper that an adoptee has ever held in their hand that lists her or his own birth name. If after acquiring their original birth certificate, a person then chooses to use it to search and reunite with their birth parent, that is between the adoptee and the birth parent. Adopted people and their mothers are adults and can decide if they want to meet or not. This bill is about the rights of a person to know as much as they want to know about themselves. Adoptive people have the right to find out about their ethnicity, medical history, family information, and culture. Please, I urge you to support this bill and vote yes. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Polk, Representative Losey, for closing comments on House File 855.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know this bill has been a labor of love. I didn't realize for 20 years it's been. I'll keep that in mind next time I file a bill, that sometimes I may have to last that long. I want to say I'm pinch hitting tonight for Representative Jones, who is at home with her newborn, Asher. Quick shout out to her. Congratulations on this bill, and I know she's been passionate about it, and I'm honored to step in for her today. With that, I do want to thank everyone, apparently for the last 20 years, who have worked on this bill to get it crafted to the way it is, and especially for this year, Representative Wolf, Representative Kurth, and Representative Osmondson's, who have served on the various subcommittees on the bill. Mr. Speaker, I move House File 855.
The gentleman from Polk moves House File 855 be read for the last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Seeing none, the clerk will read.
House File 855, a bill for an act relating to the access of the copy of the original birth certificate by an adoptee or an entitled person, providing for fees and including effective date provisions, being enacted by General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of its passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Landon,
Aye. More of Scott. Aye. Bowden. Aye. Andrews. Aye. Westrich. Aye. Winkler. Aye. Thorup. Aye. Have you all now voted? The clerk will close the machine and record your vote. The House will pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 91. Those voting no, 0. Absent or not voting, 9. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? The chair hears none. The title is agreed to. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, I ask for unanimous consent to immediately message the following bills to the Senate. House File 844, Senate File 234, 357, 554, 562, House File 857, 853, and 855.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, with the passage of House File 844, 857, 853, and 855, I ask for unanimous consent to draw House Files 681, 670, 787, 826, and 723.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If there's no further business to come before the House this time, I move the House adjourn until Wednesday, April 14th at 8:30 a.m.
Is there any other business to come before the House? Seeing no business, you've all heard the motion from the gentleman from Harrison. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The House is adjourned.